No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el Santo Messi!
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's the campeón. Leo, my team, yeah. Suarez on the field, a los wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio five is singing, muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en dolor y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody. I love listening to that. It's such a good
it's a fire beat
intro. It really it is. And the whole lyrics is awesome. But anyway, happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Messi and Co. post-match reaction to Inter Miami beating LA Galaxy 3-1 at home this past Saturday. I'm your host, Ashley, here as always with my incredible co-hosts, Gian and Matt. Happy Monday. How we feeling, boys?
You already know what I'm going to say. Monday is the new Friday, muchachos. Monday is the new Friday. Inter Miami win. I went to that concert on Friday, and that was spectacular. I had a great time. And now we're back to start the week off with some great news. So I'm very happy for today. I'm very excited.
Yeah, same. I'm happy. Anytime I get to be here talking to Miami and talk Messi, it's good. That jersey's dope. Yeah. I should have worn my. I don't know why we don't wear our jerseys on. Like really,
I always run here.
You do. You usually wear those jerseys.
I'm on theme. I'm on brand. I'm
that's
on it.
True.
Yeah,
that's
we're off brand.
How was the weekend? The weekend concert on the weekend, was that good?
The weekend concert on the weekend was fantastic. Anybody who's going to the weekend concert,
I heard it was very good.
It's fantastic. Absolutely amazing show. His vocals were great. The show was great. All the pyrotechnics, everything was great. It was fantastic. I had a great time.
They don't do the Coldplay thing where they zoom in on the camera?
No, they didn't do that. They did like very few times. But no. I was waiting because I told my brother, I was like, if the camera comes on us, then we're doing the Coldplay thing. And he was like, absolutely, 100%. And
there you go, guys. So you don't have to. You got the inside scoop here from Matt. You don't have to worry about anything. You can go.
Don't have to worry about cheating on your partner for this concert.
And Ash, how was your Friday movie on a Friday that you were gonna watch? What was it called?
Freaky Friday. Freakier Friday. I did. I actually ended up seeing it Saturday afternoon, but it was so good and nostalgic and fun. Like it's a great movie. It was a great movie when I was a kid. And it was good to see Lindsay Lohan, being great, and you know, it was just fun. Jamie Lee Curtis, like, nostalgic, it was funny.
A nostalgic type of
feel. It was totally nostalgic movie. It was, and they did such a good job of like updating it, but not making it too crazy. Like, it was a great, it was a really fun movie.
That's
so awesome. Yeah,
oh, that's good. I guess I ended up not doing much really. I did Friday, Saturday, just really chill. Sundays where I kind of did a little bit more. I went over to my favorite record shop, got some vinyls over at Sweat Records. Shout out to Sweat Records over in by Little Haiti. Then headed over to Wynwood, had Joe's Pizza, some New York style pizza.
They have amazing. A Joe Pizza in Wynwood?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually the one in New York, but they have it here as well. So it's amazing. The pepperoni pizza, amazing. Then cross the street over to Classic Football Shirts. Saw some dope retro shirt jerseys over there. Wish I could have gone one. They have a Miami Fusion one actually hanging right on the right on the main street. Those Miami Fusion jerseys. It's crazy. Back in the day, people were like throwing them out and they didn't care about them. And now they're like a relic. Like, you catch somebody wearing a Miami Fusion jersey, dude, it is.
You know,
they're
an OG.
I want the Valderrama one. That's the one I'm dying for. The Pibe Valderrama one.
Maybe you have to go to Miami.
But no, a good weekend. Good weekend. Hot as heck, though. Holy.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Like, I was walking around Wynwood with my wife, and I felt like I was melting. It was like 90-something degrees, and I was thinking.
It was bad.
Like, I don't know how these guys are playing on the field. At night, 7:30, it's still like 88 degrees, 89 with like crazy humidity.
Can I comment on that? At the weekend concert, the concert itself, like the weekend came out at 9 p.m. And it was humid as hell. We were drenched in sweat. Like, me, my brother, everybody in the stands, we were drenched in sweat. He was obviously hot as hell because he had a whole robe on and stuff. But it was hot. So I can't even imagine how the players, like, in Miami and all these guys playing these conditions, because it's hot. And even when we go to the stadium, it's
drenched. If you notice, 5-10 minutes, those guys are drenched already.
Yeah, and rightfully so. It's hot, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's hot. And you know who else is hot?
Well, Campana's not here anymore. He's in New England. So
you know who's hot in terms of being the greatest of all time? Lionel Messi. And let's talk about it, because like I said, Inter Miami beat LA Galaxy 3-1. We're going to start, as always, with the most important piece who came off the bench, which we had this discussion where it was either going to be 90 or second half.
And you were right, Ash.
I was right. And we'll talk about how really at the end of the game, how maybe even more right than I want to be, you know. But him and DePaul, you know, got rest and were rotated. But when all else fails, Messi delivers. And what does he do? He enters the game. Everyone is pumped and ready to go. Segovia had a good shift, I thought, did decently. Messi and Paul enter the game, and then what happens? We get a Messi goal. So let's talk about and it's so funny, because I was even talking to my mom about this, because she was at the game. She's like, you watch it and not only do you score the goal, but you realize, play the clip, Matt, look at where he scores it. Like, just look at where it lands inside the net. First of all, he gets through, that's three defenders. He puts it in
the insane goal, man.
From outside the box. Like, look, like one, two, one running up to him.
He cooked that first guy. Corner. He completely messed up that first guy. Look at the right here. Get out of here.
Dude, that was all hips. It was all hips. It was like a salsa merengue move. Like, dude,
it was like Shakira was.
It's all the concerts that he's been going to.
That should teach any defender, don't get caught watching Messi's hips, man. Like,
oh my God.
Hips don't lie.
These hips say. Do not lie. What a goal, man.
But so it just goes to show, like, it's not just that he scores. It's not that he scores from outside the box. He scores from outside the box into that corner that is unreachable.
Collocation right there.
And then it's so normal that he could do that. That, like, it's just amazing. So that's the high, was that he came in and helped with what ended up being, you know, we were tied 1-1 and helped us get those final two goals in order to win the game.
What's the low, by the way?
What?
What's the low? That's
well, the low is going to be that let's talk about, and this could be, you know, you could be right, and maybe it's a bunch of nothing, but it should be said that as soon as the match ended, Messi did something a little out of the ordinary, which is he left the second the whistle blew. He was waiting at the halfway line. Multiple ongoers, whether truthful or not, saying, you know, he seemed to be wincing and tight. I'd probably say, well, yeah, he just played 45 minutes and came back from an injury, so he's going to feel tight and tired. Like, that's not a surprise. But the second the whistle blows, you can see here, walks right out of the pitch. Usually, you know, obviously a lot of the games people ask for jerseys. You know, when they win, he usually goes and thanks the fans. He's obviously not one of those people who, he doesn't always stay for long. But he, I mean, that was as the whistle blows, and he went straight to the locker room, showered, changed, straight out with like fastest he's ever done. And
he was
so
just waiting there.
My question is, do we think it is something more that in terms of that he re-aggravated it, it could even keep him out of the game? Do you think he was maybe just frustrated that it, that he's fine and it'll be fine, but he didn't feel as good as he wanted to at the end of the 45 minutes? Or do you feel like he was just tired and didn't feel like staying? what are the thoughts, you know? Because, I mean, it's fair to say it's unusual, that exact event. He doesn't always stay on the field. That part is true. He does sometimes, but he's not usually waiting at the line and doesn't shake hands with players and walks out right away. That's not, he normally doesn't. So that's my question I'm going to pose. What do we think, it means anything, or do we think it's all part of the process?
That's definitely a low. I mean, I kind of forgot about that for a quick second, even though it's really important. I thought the low was going to be our two defenders getting cooked and our goalie
getting scored on the same play. Hey, I have an order of operations. So
Jan's ahead of the game. He's ahead of the game.
But we started high in the goal, and then that happened. So
Messi,
what are your thoughts?
Messi having to go or going in early. I don't know. I think he was just tired, man. He looked tired, still getting his legs underneath him, the exhaustion that he puts himself through, you know, putting the team on his back. Even though he went in the second half, it was still hot as heck, and I mean he gave it his all. It was a masterclass of a second half.
His goal, like that, the back heel assist, which we'll get to.
The assists, all that, like, the team completely changed with him on there. So I just think it's him kind of, you know, he's tired. He just wants to get in there. It was one of those nights where he gave it his all, and at the end of the day, it wasn't a.
He's still probably recovering, a little uncomfortable. You don't feel perfectly in a week.
It wasn't a rivalry either. It was just like, right. To him, it was just like, I went in there. I put in my, you know, my 4 hours of my whatever, you know, like if you have a part-time job, I went and put in my 4 hours, and I'm just ready to head home. I feel like it was just like that. I don't want to look too deep into it.
Matt,
I'm trying to think, because I'm trying to believe and convince myself that this isn't really a big deal, but I just have this like feeling in my gut where obviously something is not right. Even when Messi is tired, in my opinion, when Messi's tired, he would still at least not be waiting right there at the halfway line. Like, he was waiting there for a minute.
And he'd shake hands, and he'd maybe exchange a jersey, or he'd really quickly, and sometimes he will wait a minute or two and then leave. Like, he doesn't walk over. But this was the extreme.
Yes, I think there was only maybe one or two times where he was waiting there at the halfway line to walk out into the locker room, and that's when you know there's something wrong. I personally believe that there's something wrong. Whether the injury is still bothering him, maybe. I don't want to say if he was forced to play, but maybe 45 minutes was a little too long, or maybe he misjudged how he felt for the game against LA Galaxy. Maybe he thought he was ready, or maybe he thought he was ready to get his legs warmed up for game on Wednesday against Tigres, but maybe he pushed it a little bit too much. I think it's definitely something to really take seriously, because there's another thing on the fact that apparently it's been reported that he hasn't been in training. He wasn't in training today, I believe. So
really,
I heard that he wasn't in training today. That's what I read on the magical internet. So that's what they've been saying in the internet. And him not being in training is obviously even more of a concern, because that just means that his injury is still very much bothering him to the point where he can't even be in training, that he has to recover longer, that he's probably going to be taking it really, really easy from now until Wednesday. And now the clock is ticking, because we have now, we're approaching on, what is it? We're less than 48 hours away from this, game. Yeah. And Messi, and they're going to have to come to a decision. Is Messi going to play? Is Messi not going to play? Is this injury really going to affect him? But I think it's pretty serious.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't think he re-aggravated the injury. I think the injury just didn't go away as much as, like, I think he was just annoyed and upset that he still felt it when he didn't want to. And I think the 45 minutes was 100% his decision. I guarantee you was his decision. Yeah. Like, it was, and he was playing fine. So I would say at the very end of the game, he starts wincing because you finally stop. You're up by 2 goals. Those last 5 minutes, you start to slow down. You're not running, so you start to tighten up. You feel tired and you feel frustrated, and those things happen. And he didn't feel the same, I guess, maybe whatever that he had been feeling, obviously, in the last 2 months where he's been an absolute machine. And I think he was upset, and he's like, I need to immediately go start my recovery and treatment, because I'm telling you right now, I think there's 1% chance he doesn't play on Wednesday, like point one. Mm-hmm. Like he played fine. Meaning, and when I say that, I mean, when he was running and active, he was not, there was nothing hampering him. I think it's when he stopped and the game was ending and he was slowing down. He was upset that he still felt discomfort, is what I think. And so I think he's going to play, but I just think, maybe it should have only been 30 minutes. Maybe he shouldn't have played altogether, but, it probably was just, I think, frustration, and it was probably a little uncomfortable, because you don't just, when you get a little muscle strain, even if you're healed, like after running and being amazing for 45 minutes, like it's going to hurt. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, no, it'll hurt anyone, So that's what I think. We'll wait and see, right? When we have the press conferences tomorrow, media. But to your point, Matt, it could be very well also true that they just said, we're not having you run this week. Recover. Yeah. You play Wednesday. And, we'll get you back on your normal routine. So for that, I think we wait and see. Yeah?
Yeah.
But what a goal. And, what, not only did he score a goal, but let's talk about the assist he gave to Suarez, getting what was obviously what sealed the win of this game, which was so magnificent that it must be seen to believe.
Please, I need what? To put this in slow motion. I need to put this in slow, because I don't think people are
what.
He doesn't look. He doesn't. Well, I think. Okay. I feel like we should see the full clip of the goal, because this is the full clip of the goal.
What? Like that's inhuman.
You clearly you literally see he doesn't turn his head at all.
Look. He doesn't
look. He asks for the ball. I need to pause it right there in that moment. You see, he sees Suarez coming.
Yeah.
He calls for the ball. Rodrigo de Paul gives it to him. He knows Suarez is behind him into that space, and just instinctively, that's insane. It's only that the best in the world can have the IQ, the vision to do that. It's only him.
And then let me say this, and this is how you really know. Like, if it this is us when we're saying actually a reverse. If this was in Europe, it would be an assist of one of the best assists of the year. But because it's an MLS, it's just like, oh, Messi's goat doing goat things. Mm-hmm. But if he did that exact play when he was playing for Barcelona, which I'm sure he did, or if anyone else did that, that's like an assist of the year because it's that good. But because he's playing here in MLS and in Miami, like, it's not going to get as much, even though it is. But that is so unbelievable that he just deserves to. That's why I think he's playing Wednesday, because, like, yeah, he's pissed and he's frustrated that he still feels discomfort, but you don't do that unless you're Messi. It's all I got to say.
Yeah, no, it was really, really insane. And in the moment,
it
went crazy.
But look, and this is what now where we're switching to, which is look who finally got the ball to go into the back of the net, Luis Suarez. After was just finding. All right, Matt, I think we've watched it.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I was trying to switch it up. I was trying to switch it.
He was mesmerized by it. But
Matt forgot we were in a show. Like,
Luis Suarez.
I was like,
had found every way possible to miss a goal. And I mean, if you even think about it, I was thinking in the first half, he did a back heel that almost led to a phenomenal goal. And he did. I remember he was on the right side, far out, and with his left foot put in like a ridiculous cross. Like, there's still so much brilliance.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In his soccer IQ and his ability, but for some reason he just cannot score.
Can I show the clip of the back heel?
Yeah,
because I just found it. I was trying to look for it and now I found it. This is the clip of the back heel. Oh shoot, I completely missed it. Look at this. And I know Gian got flashbacks of like 2019 Luis Suarez. I know.
Yes.
That's amazing. That is amazing to do that. Like,
and it ended up as a goal, but of course it obviously was ruled out. It was a Telasco Segovia goal.
Right. But it wasn't because, you know, but like that is why. And again, it's really not an excuse because he's missing way too much. Like he's getting closer and closer to he's missing too many, mm-hmm. but it's moments like that that he still has that is so brilliant. It's like you understand that right now with the roster Miami has, there's just not many opportunities to swap him out. Because mm-hmm. even though he's missing these ridiculous misses, he still has great hold up play and, you know, a 98% soccer, you know, football IQ. That is valuable. And it shows itself in many ways throughout the match. But yeah, so happy he scored. Do we think it's going to unlock and we're going to be back on the score sheet, Gian?
Look, that was his first goal from the run of play in 12 games. Obviously, he scored the penalty, I believe it was. But I think this is the new version of Suarez that we're going to begin to see from now until the rest of whatever his career is with Inter Miami. And we talk about how he misses goals, and I am one of those people as well. Like, I, especially in this game, he had two clear chances at goal that he should have scored. He didn't put it in the back of the net. But at the end of the day, the way that he's being utilized in this team by Mascherano is not that of a pure nine that is meant to score every game. In fact, his role has changed so much so that really the wingers and those around him are the ones that are going more internal and the ones that are going into the box. Meanwhile, he's sitting back and working more on distributing the ball, which I think is really interesting. And I wonder how much of that really is Mascherano tinkering for the betterment of the team, or part of that, but also tinkering to elongate Suarez's career and knowing that he's at the point in his career where he's not going to be making those runs into space, you know, every other play just because his body doesn't allow him to. So I think it's a combination of both, but I think it was really good to see over the last maybe few games, maybe three or four games, the Suarez that really has become a bigger part of this team in more ways than one. It's facilitating a lot. It's doing a lot of the legwork when Messi isn't on the pitch. And I think that that's something we've noticed, when especially with now with the ball missing and Messi at the same time, and with Messi missing a few games here or there, that's when Suarez shines the most, is when he needs to step up. And that's why you have him here. I wanted to say one really quick thing about the goal, the assist. Yeah, it's the brilliance of Messi. And yeah, it's something that not many can do, and only those with his caliber of talent can do. But I think something that we failed to mention was it was really about the connection that Suarez and Messi have, and they read off of each other. They know where they're going to be, similar to how we see that connection between Messi and Alba, where Alba goes down the left side of the pitch and always knows that Messi's going to be waiting right outside the area, and he passes the ball back. And how many goals have we seen here at Inter Miami, but also at FC Barcelona? That's the same type of connection we saw in that beautiful assist and goal by Messi and Suarez. And that's one of the reasons they're here.
Matt, can you make your light on?
My light died. My light died. I'm like,
are you going, Gianna? I just,
sorry, my leg completely died. I didn't want to say anything.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Keep going, Gianna.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why you have guys like, they bring in these guys. I think sometimes we talk about their age, you know, 32, 33, 35, whatever it may be. And at the end of the day, it's for these types of connections. This is the reason why they bring in Enustari, why they bring in Alba, Busquets. This is the reason why Suarez is still here, because you don't get that connection that you do, that you can't. That those are connections that are built over years and years and years. It's not a from one day to the next thing. So it's good for us, and I think it's something that will. It's good to appreciate it in the moment, because you won't see too many connections like that after the ones we're witnessing now.
Yeah, like I agree, because I think the hate on Luis Suarez is something that I won't understand anymore, because I think maybe previously with the people are talking about the decline of Luis Suarez and him not scoring goals and things like that, and everybody starts hating on him for that. But at the same time, it's not like Luis Suarez is just like kind of walking around like waiting.
He's creating so much.
Like he's coming deep, he's making runs, he's linking plays, like as Gian said, with Messi and trying to do with other players. He drags defenders away from positions, he looks for spaces in behind, as you saw with his goal assisted by Lionel Messi. He has become such a facilitator and such a deep line forward, and a really, really good one. He's leading the team in assists, I'm pretty sure. I think he has 11 assists, because before I think of the LA game, he had 10. So I think he has 11 now. Mm-hmm. I think he's second. It's either the first or second most assists in the league. So this guy is creating. He's being a difference. He is creating opportunities for Inter Miami to put balls in the back of the net that maybe he's not doing himself directly, but he's still getting involved in play, and he's still being a crucial part to this team.
Yeah, agreed. And I think both things are true. I think both things are true, where he needs to score. It's a shame. He needs to figure it out. But, you know, I'd say, like, in comparison, look, you know, And I like, he's still my boy. He's still my the love of my life. Leo Campana, for example, you know, you could say you want him in and whatever, but like, he doesn't create as much chances for other people, and he doesn't score as much. So it's like, sometimes there's just a trade off with how the roster is built right now. Mm-hmm. There, what Luis Suarez is bringing still outweighs him not playing at the moment with the current construction of the team. If you account for all the other attributes he brings, but the missing of the goals is inexcusable, and it will catch up. It will come to a point where he will have to stop playing if he can't score. Mm-hmm. That's kind of just where I'm thinking, where I'm at. I know we wanted to keep this episode though relatively kind of a quick post match, so I wanted to just touch on a couple other things. You know, Fafa, for example, really quickly, we talked about this in our chat. Matt's mentioned, you know, you see that there's some tension on the field between Suarez and Fafa, and I think partially it's the fact that, one, they don't have a lot of playing time together because obviously Fafa's not the first choice, and Luis Suarez is just a very aggressive player on the pitch. He yells at everyone, but, you know, there's definitely tension there. I think Fafa did not maximize his opportunity he had in this rotation, but I do think he is very valuable because 9 times out of 10, like, when crosses come in, he does get his head to it. Like, he gets up there. He tries. He's just he's not making the most of the opportunity. I don't think we need to dive into it. Allende is still above him in the pecking order. I wish he had done more in this match to show that he deserves more playing time, because I do think he's great in the box with his head. He's great at jumping up, and he's great at being explosive. So I think that's just something for us to watch.
Mm-hmm. I think what Fafa has done in this game against LA Galaxy is 100 times better than what Allende has done in the last like 2 months, probably. Or even more. Like, I'm not saying that Fafa's a fantastic player. He had a fantastic performance. I'm not trying to like glaze it or anything, but I'm not trying to say that Allende is a bad player, but we all know that Allende is performing below expectation right now.
So why isn't Fafa getting the chances?
And that's the real question. I think he had a great game, and I think that he deserves to. I think Allende needs to just hit the bench. I think he needs to hit the bench for a game and a little. He needs to get a little smell of reality and and say like, oh, hey, by the way, like, yeah, we have Fafa who can play in your position, and he may be able to do a better job than you. So I don't know, but that's all up to Mascherano at the end of the day. But I thought he did good against LA Galaxy, and I hope that we can see him continue to perform well with this team if given the minutes.
Really, for Fafa, at the end of the day, it comes down to, can you do enough to replace the guy who's ahead of you? And he hasn't done so.
He hasn't done so yet, but I think he deserves more second half.
He can have.
I agree with you.
I mean, but when you say, I think that he can deserve, or I think rather he deserves more time. Is it because you think that he actually deserves it, or because again, this play is so poor that, you know, you might as well, because I it's been known that obviously Allende is at the top of the pecking order. Mascherano likes to roll with what he's familiar with, who he feels confident with, and he's not willing to make changes unless something out of the ordinary warrants it. And I think I gave you guys kind of like this example of a title boxing match, where if the champion, you know, if at the end of the 9 rounds or 12, whatever rounds, I don't watch so much boxing, but whatever the rounds are, if it's about an even bout and it's an even fight, they're always going to give the title back to the incumbent champion. The one that's coming in to challenge has to do more than enough to knock them out. And I feel it's the same thing for Fafa. Fafa, while he doesn't get a lot of minutes, within the minutes that he has had on the field, including these 90, hasn't shown enough where it warrants him getting in. What do I say by enough? Creating chances that end in goals, not just creating, you know, putting in a pass here or there. shooting on goal and actually scoring, not just shooting on a goal and attempting a shot. I saw a couple of shots that he attempted that are like, I could have probably attempted those same shots and gotten the same result, like actually putting the ball in the back of the net. Those are things that are going to challenge Mascherano to say, damn, maybe I do need to give this guy more minutes. And yes, I agree with you guys. Allende is not doing enough. Allende has a hard time controlling the ball sometimes. It's frustrating. He gets a pass put into him. It touches his leg and it bounces about 3 meters in front of him and gets taken away. He has clear shots at goal and can't freaking put the ball in the back of the net. But he's a favorite. However I believe about it, whatever you believe about it, Fava has done enough. Let's see if with the upcoming chances that he gets, he does it. But I'll say this about Fava to end. Fava's playing frustrated, and I understand why. He's trying too much at times because he's like, damn it, I deserve to start. He feels like he deserves to start. He's trying to
at least come in at the 60-minute mark, which he doesn't get.
He's trying to make the most out of his opportunities, but sometimes to the detriment of himself and the team, right. Which is why I think leading back to what you guys said early on, there are times where Luis Suarez like gets into it with him because he's like, dude, you should have made that pass. You should have done this. You should have done that. And I think Fafa's in his head. Because he wants to show he's right now.
It's a cycle that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, season is long, and hopefully, he'll get more chances, or, you know, we'll see. It's kind of ongoing. Midfield, I don't think there's too much to talk about. Once Rodrigo De Paul came in, you know, Busquets obviously kept things. Busquets and Segovia.
Baltasar looked nice, beautiful rip from outside the area.
Yeah, they did fine when De Paul comes in. I think it adds even another level of calmness. So I think nothing extraordinary happened. Last thing to touch on before we wrap up this episode, defense overall. I think it wasn't our best defensive performance, even though they only scored one and we scored three. They had a lot of chances that because, you know, there were opportunities where, like, Lujan or Chelo got cooked, you know, someone had a pass over the top. Just wasn't their best defensive performance. But I do want to give a shout-out to our first goal scorer, Jordi Alba, who is always consistent leadership, competitiveness, energy. And even though he's not what he once was, maybe, defensively, I'd say he still gives every ounce of himself every game. And when he scores and when he gets these moments, it's great to see. Not some other aspects of defense, not great. What do you think about that as sort of your last thoughts?
So I thought in general, I don't think the defense was horrendous. I genuinely didn't think it was horrendous. I just think that, and I don't want to call out Mascherano, but I kind of want to call him out because I think there are certain moments in games, in situations where teams' tactics have to adapt and you have to change them according to what is going on in the game. And I don't think maybe he did it on purpose, maybe because he wanted to rest these players for Wednesday, but I don't know. But I think that when you see that paint sill is completely cooking.
That was a nasty.
Chelo Wengan and Lujan, you got to make a change there. That's in my opinion. I've been trying to look for the clip of this of Paint Cell cooking us, but the internet apparently doesn't want us to show it. I just think like certain tactical changes need to be made in certain situations of the game, and I think Mascherano sometimes maybe gets a little bit too comfortable with his players like Chelo, like with Lujan. He puts a lot of trust in Lujan and a lot of trust in Chelo in these certain situations. And I understand that Ian Frey gets injured. And I understand that Noah Allen is not the biggest or the strongest compared to Lujan. But at the same time, it's like we need to see some sort of change because
we'll see our best four on Wednesday. We'll see the best.
Yeah. We would hope to see the best lineup or the best players be playing in their positions on Wednesday, but let's just hope, that because like playing Lujan and Chelo for 90 minutes was not the move, I guess. Yeah. It just wasn't the move, but it made sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think one-on-one, we don't have the best defenders.
I think outside of Falcon, I think he is a good one-on-one defender.
Who?
Outside of Maxi, Falcon.
I don't even.
Because I think if he wasn't, he'd have like a red card every game because he does Ian a lot Frey of risky to, tackles.
I'll say I don't share that opinion. I don't think any of our defenders are necessarily the best at one to one. I think our defense works better collectively, mm-hmm. And even at times collectively they're questionable. Many of the times that we've suffered dangerous chances were that either ended up in a goal against us or almost are whenever our defenders are 1v1 versus an attacker. Happens a lot of times where we lose the ball in possession around the half field and we're having to run back as we're getting counterattacked, and we have a one-on-one and we either get burned on somebody making a run into space or somebody taking one of our players. So I think when we talk about adjustments, like Matt was talking about, the first adjustment that comes to my mind is if you have a fast player that has the ability to take a player one-on-one and he's against Chelo, you need to have your players double these guys. And that's something very common that I've seen other teams implement. Anytime you have a player on the wing that's going to try to come into the box and attack, you put two defenders on him. So whether that's with Peinsel, it should have been Chelo and probably the ball right next to him or Busquets next to him or whoever was there closest at the moment. And it wasn't Luján. Luján was like the second option. Once Chelo got burned, then it was Luján on the line. So it wasn't like Luján and Chelo doubled him. And Luján got absolutely burned. And then you had Ustari that opened his legs. And I told you guys in the chat, that was actually for something else, but it works here. He's like a, never mind. Actually, that I don't want to have to change the, I don't want to have to change our rating on YouTube. Never mind. But he opened his legs and the ball went through and it was just an absolutely awful sequence. And the first thing that comes to mind is start doubling these guys. Like anytime you have try to mitigate any one-to-ones, and I think the defense will be better. We can do a whole episode on defense. There's so much stuff you can do, but that would be the first thing that comes to mind. Mitigate the 1v1s. Our defense isn't the best at that, and that's what the team is for. Two guys versus a fast guy is always going to be better on defense than a 1v1.
Agreed. All right, well, I think we recap the game in a nice, for our standards, short-ish fashion. But biggest question mark, of course, is going to be Messi's status on Wednesday. Hopefully he's able to, get good recovery and be ready. Tomorrow we will be live at 6 p.m. for our big match preview of Inter Miami versus Tigres in the quarterfinals of the League's Cup. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
Ciao. See you guys.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.